All right. Genesis chapter 21. Let's just read the first two verses. The Lord visited Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Yeah. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now what is stressed in those two verses? Yes. God did like he said. Like he said. Like he said. When he said he would do it, he did it. The Lord visited Sarah. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs and thank you for our time we've had together here already. Please bless now as we look at this. Pray it would be something that would affect us and not just run off of us like water off a duck's back. I pray we could get some lessons here out of this morning that would help us to stand and to go on and to press on in this evil day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now the Lord visited Sarah. He did just exactly what he said he would. And he did it when he said he would do it, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Well, he's referring back there to Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 and verses 14, where the Bible says, the Lord said, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee. Who else said that? Jesus said that. But this is God speaking to Abraham and to Sarah in Genesis chapter 18. Twice he said it. In verse 10, he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And then in verse 14 it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee. That was after Sarah had laughed in the tent door, you know. So God keeps his promises. He always has, and he always will. You might, anybody else in the world, you might find them failing at their word. Even people who would never do it on purpose, sometimes they promise something they're not able to deliver. They say something and then circumstances intervene or whatever, and it just can't happen. But it's not that way with God. God's not free with his words and careless with his words. When he says something, it is gonna come to pass. So hang your hat on that. Look for those promises in the book. Look for those promises in the words of Jesus, and you'll be able to have some assurance in your heart. Believe God. That's what Abraham did. We've been through this. This is the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And I must believe God. And you must believe God. How could anybody doubt him? How could anybody doubt God after the record and after all of history, and we can see that he does what he says? I mean, even in this dark, godless world that we live in 2013, there's Israel is a shining example that God keeps his word. Even in this generation, there's a nation on the earth that's proven every day God keeps his promises. That over there right now is part of the promise that God made to Abraham. This same covenant with Abraham that we're studying, looking at here today. He visited Sarah and did what he said, and she conceived and bare a son. Bare Abraham a son. We're wondering at this, but look over there right now. There's the nation of Israel right now. Same covenant, same promises, same God, same people. God keeps his promise. He always does. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 3, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now you better believe that that's going to happen. Yes, it is. It's as sure, it's more sure than the sun is going to come up in the morning. Sarah was not a passive or indifferent member in this work of God that he was doing here. I mean, God, the Lord visited Sarah. She wasn't just somebody that was, you know, not really involved, just used. I mean, that's not what Sarah was at all in this. She had to be brought on board also. Her own heart had to learn to trust the Lord in this, or it couldn't happen. I mean, it was by faith that Sarah received strength to conceive. I'll read that in a minute in Hebrews. But it was by faith that Sarah got the strength to receive seed and conceive. She had been, she had been brought to the place where she could trust God. God visited her. We can see clearly from this that the Lord dealt with Sarah directly. Now, she'd been Abraham's wife. Are y'all listening? She'd been Abraham's wife for a lifetime. God had dealt with Abraham for a lifetime here, and she'd been his wife. But we saw how she laughed in the tent door, and really in not just raw, ungodly unbelief, but in very, if she had any faith, it was weak, wasn't it? But it's kind of like Peter. You know, everybody talks about Peter. He sank when he took his eyes off the Lord, and that's what everybody thinks about him. Well, he sunk. Well, have you ever tried walking on the water? He did walk on the water. Have you ever had that much faith? See, we belittle their faith and put us in a... Well, no, we need to change that, you know. Sarah may have had faith, but it was not what it needed to be, for sure. And when we compare our faith to hers, well, she may have outshined us, you know. We're not such superstars, are we? I mean, she... But anyway, God dealt with her directly, and we can see that. I mean, this is speaking of more than just a miraculous touch that caused her to conceive and be able to have a son. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't get the idea that God just came through the tent one day and just... And all of a sudden it was a miraculous thing and she was expecting. Like Mary. No. It wasn't that way at all. God visited Sarah. It's speaking of more than just a miraculous touch. The scripture tells us that it was through faith that she received strength to conceive. It wasn't a miraculous touch that God gave her. It was a miracle, all right, but it was through faith. Through faith, also, Sarah herself. See the pronouns and everything and how it's pointing right at her? She believed God. For through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now does that make it clear to you? That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. That makes it clear to us that Sarah believed God. And that's why. She had a baby when she was old. Now, it was her faith in God by which she received strength. Boy, that's pretty important right there. You ever feel weak? You ever feel like you're weak in faith and ain't going to be able to make it through? Well, faith is where you get strength from. You believe and then God strengthens you. God visited Sarah in a way that caused her faith to increase and mature. He didn't just visit her and you know, shoot her with a ray gun and she believed. No, God visited her. I'm saying this over and over because we're fixing to see what I'm talking about here. Visit means, now think about it. It means different things. You mean you come to somebody's house and you visit them. Well, that's just one meaning of the word. Don't think that that's what God did here. No. Faith, visit means to wait on. That's the first definition of visit, to wait on. That's interesting, isn't it? It means attended. It means inspected. It means subjected to sufferings. Read your Bible and you'll find all kinds of places in there where God visited them with evil. He visited upon them bad things. It means subjected to sufferings. It means favored with relief or mercy. There you go. Now we like that one, don't we? Well, let me tell you this morning. Faith always involves waiting. I mean, it just always does. Faith involves waiting. God waits on us, and we wait on God. A lot of waiting going on. Where there's faith being developed in a life, and real faith, effectual faith, the kind that matters, the kind that does something for you, there's a lot of waiting involved. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what happened to Sarah. God visited her. He waited. He waited on her. Abraham had to wait too. She's old. You know, they've waited a long time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, if you're going to have a baby when you're 90 years old, you need to know that verse. You need to experience that. That has to be a reality to you. You know, there wouldn't have been anything miraculous about Sarah having a baby when she was young enough and naturally strong enough to do it. We read about in the news nowadays where women 65 years old having babies. You know, they have to do it artificial ways, but they're doing it. And, you know, there's records, historical records, where women in their 60s actually did conceive and bear a child naturally. So that's no miracle. If it happens naturally, even if it happens once every 1,000 years, that's not a miracle of God. See, when God does something, it has to go outside the bounds of the abilities of man and the natural processes of earth. I mean, if it's going to be something that's absolutely unquestionably of God, it's got to go outside of those parameters. See? Sarah's 90 years old. And the miracle of Isaac's birth was that she was far beyond childbearing age, and it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women long before this. I mean, that had all ended a long time before this. She was past being able to bear a child. And not just barely past. I mean, it hadn't been a year, hadn't been 2 years, it had been a long time since she had been able to have a baby or to conceive. She was obviously an unusually attractive and well-preserved woman even when she was in her 70s and 80s. Because we've been through that. I mean, they died two times when she was in that age bracket there. Men came and took her away. Tried to take her because she was so fair to look upon. So she was pretty well preserved, wasn't she? So that made the wait longer. I mean, you got to wait until all the natural hopes dry up. Her natural strength and abilities had to be exhausted before she could experience the strength that the Lord had given. She received strength to conceive seed. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So you see how it has to work. You see why there has to be a wait. You see why the Lord has to visit. He has to wait on you. He has to wait on everything to dry up. You know, the brook dried up for old Elijah. And it took a long time, but it dried up. And then the Lord had something else. But it had to dry completely up. I mean, do you reckon he sat there and watching it drying up day by day? It got littler and littler and littler. And he said, well, I better come up with a plan here. This thing's drying up. Now I got it. What am I going to do then? No, when the brook dries up, then the Lord will come. He'll let you know what. He'll tell you what's next. The Lord will speak when everything else is done. Now, faith involves waiting. Faith involves suffering simply because we're such selfish, proud creatures who've placed our faith in others and in ourselves and in what we can see and touch. We grow up in this world in a fleshly body and in a physical world, and that's where our reality is at. And so God has to cut all those cords that have us tied to that. And that's painful. We can't be cut loose from those things that have attached themselves so thoroughly into our being without suffering, any more than we can have a part of our body cut off without suffering. You cut a piece of your body off, I'd say it's probably going to hurt, don't you? And then not only that, you suffer the pain of losing it and the pain of the severance, but you also suffer the pain of not and the loss of not having its use any longer. Faith has to remove things from our life that we think we can't live without. Faith has to, before it can come to the full and to fruitfulness, what we have in our life that we depend upon has to be removed. Everything that we turn to and rely on and trust in. Sarah laughed the first time because, that's not going to happen. I can't have a baby now. That stopped a long time ago. A woman does not have a baby after it ceases to be with her after the manner of women. That's the way it is. Everybody knows that. Can't happen. We'll see. Faith reaches beyond that. Faith bridges that gap there. And that's part of the process. It had to be that way. That's why Abraham's had such a long wait. So when God visits us with a purpose in mind for our life, listen. It is almost always by introducing suffering and hardship into our life. Do you kids hear me? Are you listening and understanding? Can you look ahead and realize that this is the way, this is the path, this is the road that faith takes? And if you're going to believe God and if you're going to trust in God, He's going to take you down the same road. But it is worth it. We'll get to that in a minute here. But when God visits us with a purpose in mind for our life, He's going to introduce hardship and suffering in our life. And it's not by adding to us, but by subtracting from us that our faith is increased. That's just the way it is. I must decrease, but He must increase. I have to become weak before I can be strong in the Lord. It has to be in the power and the might of the Lord, not in my own strength and not in my own abilities. I can't trust in the arm of flesh. I can't trust in the way the world works. I have to despair of all of that. I have to be cut off from all of that. All the bridges have to be burned. And it depends on how stubborn you are and how hard you cling to it, how long your wait is going to be. Now, here I'm going to say some things, and I don't have to get too specific and too plain. I think anybody can understand this that needs to understand it. A woman of childbearing age has to suffer some things in her life every month that are not pleasant. Think about Sarah. That had ceased to be with her that way a long time ago. And there's a measure of relief and peace when all that stops and she's relieved of this burden. Yep. They gripe about that too, but it's still the truth. You know, they're relieved. Don't have to worry about that anymore. So, can you imagine what it was like in her old age when all of a sudden, here we go again. Can you imagine at 89 years old what it was like to start going through that again? Had to be a lot harder on her, don't you think? Yes. But at the same time, think about what it said in her heart. Because just a few, no more than 2 or 3 months, couldn't have been more than that, before this, God had spoke to her and told her what was fixing to happen. And she laughed. And now, God visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. And He did unto her as He had spoken. And so, you see how suffering and faith go together. I mean, she's suffering, but boy, there's something springs up in your soul about your faith when you can see just a little bit of movement in earthly things, isn't it? Yeah. Now, faith has its reward. You know, we talk about the suffering and we talk about the loss and we talk about the waiting and all of that. Don't forget, that's not the end of it. That's not all that it's about. Y'all listening to me now? Don't just say, I don't want to live my life that way. So you talk about suffering and loss and that's what it takes and all that. I get tired of that. No, you need to look to the end of it. I mean, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as the Lord, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham's learned to do what God says, hasn't he? Abraham believed God. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 70 years old when he got the call. 100 years old before Isaac's in his arms. It's 30 years. 30 years. The waiting and the suffering is never in vain. You know, you ought to sit around and think about things like this. You ought to just really get into it and picture it in your mind. What do you think went on in that household when they heard Isaac's first cries? What do you think? You reckon they were remembering God? I reckon old Abraham was doing any worshiping? Reckon there were any tears shed? Reckon he remembered the altars and the meetings with God? Reckon he remembered the promises that God Himself had spoken to him? Oh, you better believe he did. I mean, think about it. I mean, when Abraham and Sarah heard the first cries of Isaac, their son, they experienced what so many others have experienced since who have waited on God for His promises. There's victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I mean, there is victory. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Don't focus on the suffering and don't focus on the waiting. Look to the end of it. You have to. That's how Abraham endured. That's how Moses endured. That's how everybody's always endured. In Hebrews chapter 11, they all endured because they looked for a city. They were looking ahead. They embraced the promises and they identified themselves with God and acknowledged and professed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't belong here, they belonged somewhere else and they were looking ahead. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So see? But God lets you experience some victory, even here. In this life. I mean, look at this. My. Why don't you just hang in there and wait on the Lord? Huh? I mean, Abraham would tell you to. So would everybody else through all the ages that have believed God and waited until the victory came. They'd tell you just wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And He'll strengthen your heart. Maybe you ain't waited long enough. If you haven't ever experienced anything like what they're experiencing here, I mean, you just got to think about it. I can't tell you with words what they felt, but you can imagine in your heart after waiting so long and after all they'd been through and after all the stumbling and after all the things that God had worked in their lives, and they finally come to the place where Abraham and Sarah are one in their faith. I mean, they are both on the same page now. And it's by faith Sarah receives strength. That's kind of interesting, you know. But they're finally there. I mean, they finally holding in their hands proof that God, what He said, was true. That He does keep His promises. And the wonder of it, you know, as God had told Abraham that, look, count the stars, Abraham. And if you're able to count them, then that's how many your seed will be. And he's got one child. Don't you know that by now he believes God? I mean, he believes God for sure now. And Isaac, you know, he's got to wonder how in the world, what is this baby, what is this boy going to amount to? What's going to happen? What is he going to be like? Abraham has to live in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Isaac got a wife. Isaac was 40 years old before he got a wife. And Isaac was years barren. He's holding Isaac, but it's going to be like 60 years or thereabouts before he holds a grandson. But Abraham can wait. He's learned how to do that. He's learned that it's worth the wait. He can wait. Can you wait? Can you wait? You better learn to wait on God. If you want to see, if you want a taste of the victory, then you better learn to wait on God. Too many grow weary in the wait, and they jump ship before they can experience the victory of faith. Now the Bible says here, Sarah's laughing again. But this time it's not with unbelief and doubt. It's with joy. I mean, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Sarah said in verse 6, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. It's just like it's unbelievable. You know, God has made me to laugh, and everybody that's going to hear about this is going to laugh too, because who would have thought this could have happened? This is unbelievable. This is completely of God. There weren't any fertility doctors or clinics back then. They didn't mess with stuff like that. That was all in God's hands, like it ought to be. And here they're holding a baby, old, 90 and 100 years old. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah says, who would have said unto Abraham that I would have him? Who would have told him? Who would have thought? Who would have imagined this? Only God. He's the only one that told Abraham that. Nobody else did. The unbelievable has happened. When what nobody else would have believed or thought possible has happened. Can you relate that now to our situation? Can you see where we're at in our day? Can you see that God's the same and He still works the same way? And he told us that in the last days there'd be scoffers who would come walking after their own lust and mocking and saying, where's the promise of his coming? He ain't coming. What's the matter with you? And now you got people sitting in church that say that. And there's hardly anybody looking for him. They think it's impossible. They think they've mapped the heavens and they know where everything's at and why he ain't out there. It's impossible. I'm telling you, God works in the impossible. Yeah. What's impossible with men is not impossible with God. He said he was coming, and he's coming. And one of these instants, it's going to happen. And then you're going to be just like Sarah. You're going to be sitting there with the same kind of thing in your heart that Sarah had here. Just, it can't be true. It's just too good to be true. It's unbelievable. Nobody on earth would have thought this would have happened. Nobody on earth would have said this would happen. Because this is outside of the realm of human thinking and ability and imagination. And so is all this stuff about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. So is, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know, that's all beyond the realm of human ability and thinking. But it's going to happen. He is coming. The struggle in their own hearts here to believe God's promise with no visible proof is over. Do you understand that? I mean, they're not going to be wondering anymore. It is accomplished. God's word is accomplished. They're not going to have to go to bed anymore wondering if it's going to happen. And not only that, you know, there's a lot to think about here. I mean, it takes 9 months before a baby's born. They knew this. They experienced that for 9 months. And everybody around are looking at him and are wondering, what in the world? Reckon they smiled at him when the people come around and said, what's the matter with her? I'm going to have a baby. Well, if it had been in our day, boy, they'd have had her in the hospital and everything, had her hooked up to the machines, because a 90-year-old woman can't have a baby. I mean, you know, that's real dangerous, and it's just, probably need to abort it, because it's probably going to be a Down syndrome baby, too, and all that, you know. Got to do something about this. This is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. They don't have to struggle anymore with believing. They don't have to struggle with the burden of that. You know, do you feel a burden? Do you feel like you're under a burden here in this world? Well, they didn't have that burden now. I mean, the burden is lifted. And instead of that, they feel the joy of victory. Don't you see that? I mean, can't you just put yourself there and think about it for a little bit? And they've got victory. I mean, do you know what it feels like to finally see victory? See God do what you knew He was going to do. So let me end it here. I'll wind it up here. So what Abraham would say to us today, you know, if Abraham could just speak to us today, if he could stand here and speak to us, he does speak to us through the scripture here, but if he was here today, I think he would say the same thing that David told us in the Psalms in 27:14. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't you think that's what he'd say to you? In the day we're living in, and everybody's, just dragging along. We're going to talk tonight about revival a little bit. We need to think about that. But it's God's people who need to be revived. That's what a revival is. It's not getting a bunch of people saved and the world just coming in and No, it's God's people waking up, and I pray for that all the time. That's what needs to be done. You know, there needs to be an awakening among God's people. They're weary, and they're jumping ship because they're tired of waiting. They haven't learned this. They need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded of this. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Do you believe God this morning? Do you really believe God? Then what are you doing? Waiting on the Lord. He is visiting us. Do you understand that? God visits His people. Waits. He puts them through things. And then He visits them with relief and comfort. God visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. And this was what happened. First some suffering and some waiting and then some relief and comfort. What comfort they had to feel when they held that baby. You reckon they were probably, I imagine they might have been a little overprotective, don't you? You suspect they might have been? And so that's what we get to next week when they looked out there and Ishmael's mocking. Oh. Yeah. I mean, Ishmael has no idea. The ungodly have no idea. They'll mock. Well, we'll stop. I'll be in the next week. So let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this part of the Scripture that's such a blessing, Lord, to think about and to meditate on and to understand. It's what we've read about for chapters and chapters here, covered years and years of these of Abraham and Sarah's lives, and to get to this point. And this is so important. When you did what You said You would do, You accomplished Your purpose, You kept Your word, and it really did happen. And they held that child in their arms, and they had proof beyond a doubt that they could hold up in the faces of the ungodly around them. And Abimelech took notice when this happened. And it really made a difference in Abraham's standing among those around him. They knew that the Lord was with him. And Lord, we sure need that in our day too. We need to have that. We need to be able to be such that the people around us know that we're of God. Pray You'd help us. Bless the word to our heart. Get us home now and bless the day, the service tonight. Pray we'd see some others here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.